Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. By now, your Bible should be open to the 1 Samuel since we've been digging this quite some time. After this, we are going to study Matthew. So I want you to read ahead Matthew. Great book, especially my best favorite spot of the Matthew is Sermon on the Mountain. It's so good, so good, so rich. And whenever I think about Sermon on the Mount, I must say to people, those who don't believe Bible, they say, well, it's not relevant. What do you think this is? And it's right in your face. Sermon on the Mount is great. I cannot wait to teach the Matthew. We'll learn a lot from this book. Anger is a debilitating thing because it's so public and it just happened at no time, unpredictable. Of course, the answer for the anger is self-control. We see the self-control as one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. We find it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and what? Self-control. So anger is kind of opposite of self-control. Does it mean all angers are bad? No. There is what we call righteous indignant. Jesus displayed at the temple twice, not just once. A lot of people think that when Jesus turned the table upside down in the temple, that was just one incident. As a matter of fact, it's two times. Through God's mercy, though God's mercy is new every morning, we know that, right? But the Satan's scheme is still every day against us. It's one of those things that we have to face Satan's scheme day in, day out. Just because we had a good time, just because we succeed in the Lord yesterday, that doesn't mean we are going to carry that over again today and tomorrow. The patience we learn from God is not on credit. I'm going to repeat this later down the road again. Patience we learn has to be done each day, each moment, each hour. Why is it necessary for us to have to learn, be patient, and trust in God all the time? Otherwise, we become independent. Otherwise, we become self-reliant. And God doesn't want us to be independent. God wants us to depend on Him. That way, we don't fall. This portion of chapter 25, we find the worst, probably one of the worst spot of David, most human side of David. He, in chapter 24, we find him. He had a chance of a lifetime to get rid of the Saul once and for all. He had a chance to slit his throat or stab him in the back and get him out of his miserable life. And since David was anointed as a king, he could do that. And on top of it, Saul was coming after him. So he could easily justify his self-defense. However, David rather God to take care of Saul than he touching this man. He displayed wonderful patience. However, that patience is turning into the crazy idea and almost committed murder, actually mass. We find in verse 1 of chapter 25, before we go there, we will pray. Heavenly Father, it's not easy to control ourselves when the situation is rough. We get upset, we get angry, and we tend to listen to ourselves more than your word. Teach us this morning your principle, your precept, so that we may honor you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Samuel died. Now we're going to find that the character introduction, there were three main characters we're going to find. Then Samuel died. Israel gathered together and lamented for him, buried him at his home Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Israel's last judge and preeminent prophet Samuel just died. Tired and sad, David went back to his stronghold in Gedi, but he packed up everything and he left with his group to a place called Maon. And then this around the place of Maon, close to the Carmel, this is the place where another character shows up. This is the area where they find themselves as a local, kind of volunteer local police. What do I mean? These are the people who protect the local ranchers, such as people who have a sheep, or I don't think they had a whole lot of cows at the time. They protect the sheep from a raiding party, raiding bandits, or the wild animals. And there's no contract to sign. There's nothing other than when the time of shearing, the ranchers get compensate them for their work. It has nothing to do with the mafia style of the protection racket. You know, bounce a few people against the wall and the mafia come in and say, well, we'll protect your business. You give us money. That kind of thing. However, these people are just there as a volunteer. And of course, down the road, as I said, they get compensated. Verse 2, we find, now there was a man in Maon whose business in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He had a sheep shearing his sheep in Carmel. Sheep shearing time is like a harvest time. Everybody is very generous, and it's time to pay up the people, shearers, and his workers. Of course, people like David who protect them, so it's time to pay them up. It's a payday. However, we will find that the sheep are not only skinned off by Nabal. The other people got skinned off too. Verse 3. The name of the man was Nabal. The name of his wife is Abigail. She was a woman of a good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doing, and he was of the house of Caleb. You guys know the Caleb who crossed from to come into the promised land with Joshua, only two of them from the Egypt. So we find the three characters. Number one, Nabal. His name means a fool. His mama didn't like him, that's why he called him a fool. Nabal, he is a wealthy man but without a brain. And we just read he was harsh and evil in his dealing. In other words, he doesn't care anyone else except himself. The meaning of the Nabal is not because he was ignorant or retarded person, because he does not consider God no big deal. When you go to Psalm 14:1 says, "In a fool said in his heart that there is no God." As we were listening to the creation and the evolution debate last night, I was thinking, this gentleman, Peter Sherman, he's a doctor in biology. He's a very, very smart man. And I thought, you're smart. Intelligently, you are a very smart person. However, you are a fool because you don't have a God in your heart. He said he believing there's a God to him. But those who believe God, follow God, cannot have a concept of evolution. Because if you believe God and you believe in evolution, you just ignore the first portion of Genesis. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. If you cannot believe that, you cannot believe anything in the Bible, period. You know what I'm saying? As a born-again Christian, you cannot be an evolutionist. Because you have to ignore the first portion of the Bible. Second character we find is Abigail. She is quick thinker, stark contrast to his dumb husband. She is smart, intelligent. On top of all, she is beautiful. According to, this is not what I'm saying. This is according to Pastor Chuck Swindoll, beauty and intelligence is a rare combination in this case. Some people got it, some people didn't get it. That's fine. There are three beautiful women are mentioned in the Bible. Number one is Rachel. She got it finally. Jacob's wife, Rachel, was described as beautiful. Second person who is beautiful is Queen Esther. And third person is Abigail. She must be a real pretty one. David, third character, we find he displayed exceptional patience with Saul. He didn't murder this man. However, at this time we're going to find a different side of David. Why? Because he was listening to himself, not to God. So we're going to find Nabal's very bad move in verse 4. When David heard in the wilderness Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent his 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to the Carmel, go to the Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who is in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, peace to all that you have. So in other words, shalom, shalom, shalom. Now I have heard that you have assured that your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them. Excuse me. Nor was there anything missing in from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find a favor in your eyes, for we come on the feast day. Please give whatever come into your hand to your servant and to your son David. So when the David and his young men came, and they spoke to the neighbor according to all these words in the name of David, and they waited. David's request was polite, not demanding. It's not out of ordinary. Whatever you have, give to us. And all these guys, 10 young men standing in front of Nabal with the hat in their hands and waiting for the handout. What did Nabal say? Verse 10. Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Who is David? Nabal said, ask, is it because he not know the David? You can guarantee that this was the top news. During the last few years, Saul and David had a cat and mouse game. They've been chased and chasing all over the Israel. So if there's anyone who knows about the situation, they all know about it. He didn't say that who is David because he did not know. It was a matter of insult. He knew about David, but he chose to insult David. And he put David as a slave. That's no-no for the Israeli people. Verse 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to the man whom I do not know where they are from? Did you notice there are seven I's and my? So in other words, this guy don't think about anyone else except who? Nabal himself. Bad move, as I said. Verse 12, we're going to find David is ticked. So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all this word. And David said to his men, every man girded on his word. So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. In other words, David said, lock and load, boys. We're going to have to go get to get this boy, idiot. As I said before, we may have a great victory yesterday. And patience. That doesn't transfer to today or tomorrow. As I said before, God does not give us patience on credit. Each day, he gives a new training in patience and new trust. Why is not on credit? Because if we start to use like yesterday's credit, we start to depend on that more than on God. God wants us to control our emotion. He doesn't want us to run by the emotion. He doesn't care how high we jump, but he cares how straight we walk. I think I mentioned this to you guys before. Emotion is great. Nothing wrong with emotion. God gave us the emotion. However, walking straight with God and following his way, controlling our anger, is very, very important. Forgiveness is the quickest way to remove the anger. Most of the time, we are not angry by ourselves. Yeah, we get upset because we screw up. However, majority of the time, we get angry at somebody else. If we get angry, whether we are angry at somebody or to ourselves, forgiveness would be the answer. Need to be done. The way we are forgiven by God, we need to forgive those people. Saul was after his head, but David was acting upon this against this little insult from the fool. Did the neighbor try to kill David? No. But Saul tried. Did Saul try to kill Saul? David tried to kill Saul. He rather not, because he rather wait upon God. But at this moment, he rather take care of this neighbor all by himself instead of relying on God. In Matthew 5:39 says, he just said, turn the other cheek. Let me make this very clear to you. This is not about self-defense. If somebody tries to bash your head with a 2x4, please pick up the 2x4 and fight back. That's self-defense. But if somebody insults you with a word or insult you with whatever, then ignore them. Don't fight back. Do not pay back evil for evil. That's what it meant. Some people take this in and ignore the self-defense. No, that's not what Jesus says. If you read in context, this is self-defense. This is insult. Do not pay back insult to insult. All right. Sometimes we act like a David against the neighbors in our lives. Somebody do something against us. We try to go after them. God says, don't. And we may not gird our sword on our side and try to stab him or cut his head off, but we prepare something in our heart, don't we? We do that. We grind the axe in our heart against that person. David told his soldiers, 400 of them, plus himself, 401, on a horseback with a sword, going after how many Nabal? One. 401 versus one. That's a good fair fight, don't you think? David is not thinking straight. Verse 14. Now one of the young men, Abigail, the Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent a messenger from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. The men who were very good to us, we were not hurt, and nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the field, they were wall to us both night and day. All the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know, consider that what you will do, for harm is determined against our master, against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that no one cannot speak to him. Did you notice that the Nabal's servant came to Abigail instead of going to the Nabal? Why? Because we just read, he's a scoundrel and he's evil and harsh. In other words, Abigail is teachable. He is open for suggestion. It is no wonder why Abigail approached by this servant. Now, Abigail could do something about this. Now, I'm sure this marriage was arranged by her parents and his parents from way before they knew each other, as in custom. it could be her chance to get out of this stupid marriage she has and get rid of this miserable man. She could say something spiritual like, "Oh Lord, take him swiftly." However, she chose not to. She chose to be loyal to him. Remember the word loyal to him. Verse 18 we find, then Abigail made a haste that took the 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheaves already dressed, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, and 100 crusts of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and T-bone steak, 16 ounces of prime rib, lobster, shrimp cocktail, all that. And the Lord on the donkey, and she said to the, "You guys hungry?" "I am." She said to the, her servant, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." And she did not tell her husband Nabal. This is first recorded catering service in the Bible, you guys, just in case you want to know about it. Mark it there. Verse 20, we find a beauty and a hungry, hot-headed man. Verse 20, so it was as she rode in the donkey that she went down under cover of the hill. There were David and his men coming down toward her. She met them. Only thing louder than the hoof of the horse is their growling stomach. Now the David said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him. He has repaid me evil for good. May God do so, and more also to my enemies, the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belongs to him by morning light." We display godliness by the grace of God, and in a small insult, we just lose everything. We completely lose our cool. We get upset and start throwing temper tantrum, throwing things around. Don't look at me like that. You never do anything like that. Am I the only one who does that kind of thing? No. You've been in their shoes. The little thing irritates you, so we get all upset, all uptight. We need to be in control all the time. How can we do that all the time? Turn your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to memorize this verse and put it in your heart. And so whenever you get bent out of shape, let this verse remind you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Chapter 10, verse 5 of 2 Corinthians. "Casting down the argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to obedience to Christ." NIV has a better translation, in my opinion, as we take a captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ Jesus. We take a captive of every thought to bring obedience to Christ Jesus. In other words, not a thought should come out of our brain and go into action without we filter through the Word of God. You follow me? We need to control every thought. Have you ever felt, I do the daydreaming. Before I realize from one thought to another thought to another thought, it goes into the wilderness. Literally. Wild trip. But if I control my thought from the beginning, I can know exactly where it's going. And I can tell where it should go. If we control our thought, guess what? We won't go through the temptation. We don't have to go through the temptation and fall for it if we control our thought. We don't have to fall into unrighteous anger like David is going through if we control our thought. Put it through the filter of the Word of God. Then we can control it, every one of them. Let's go back to the verse 33 and 23 of chapter 25. Now when Abigail saw David, she hastened to dismount from the donkey. fell on her face and there before David and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak to your ear and hear the words of the maidservant." Abigail was waiting for David with a plan in her heart. She already knew what she was going to say. She is bring this whole thing in tactful manner, we find in verse 25. Oh, by the way, they were coming down and they see this caravan with a full of food and the lady in the crock pot in her hand. It's hard to attack a person with a crock pot in their hand and when their stomach is especially growling, it's like all 401 guys standing there with a sword in their hand. What do I do? They're all looking at each other. Verse 25, "Please let me, not my Lord, rather this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, but I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, since the Lord has held back you from the coming to the bloodshed and from the avenging yourself," listen to this, this is good. "Lord held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand. Now then, let your enemy, those who seek harm of my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespasses of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make of my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is nothing new throughout your days. Yet the man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living of the Lord our God, your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall fling out from the pocket of his sling. And it shall come to pass that when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good and he has spoken concerning you, has appointed you ruler of Israel, this will be no grief to you, no offense of heart to my Lord, and neither that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, remember your maidservant." Her intercession is tactful, and she took all the fault of Nabal upon herself. And also she gave a credit to the God and restraining David from the unnecessary murder, truly. Now the David's man is riding in the back of the horse of the David, and they're smelling enough of food, and they say, "David, just take it, say thank you, and let's go home. We are hungry." And these people are ready for the food, and they are ready for the payday. Let's go to the verse 32. David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. He is a teachable. He just changed his heart right there. Who sent you this day to meet me? The blessed is your advisor. Blessed are you because you kept me this day from the coming to bloodshed, from the avenging myself with my own hands. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who kept me back from the hurting you, unless you have hastened and come to meet me, surely by morning light no man would have been left to Nabal." So the David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace, and in your house, see, I have heard your voice in respect your person." Know why the Bible says that he's a man of God's own heart? Because he's willing to listen. From the woman whom he never met, are we willing to listen from somebody whom we don't care to listen to? God can speak through just about anyone. Of course, we have to listen according to the Word of God. James 4 verse says, "God gives opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble." If we humble him ourselves, God will give us grace and lift us up. We continue. Oh, by the way, the moral of the story, ladies, listen. When the guys get hungry, they get cranky. So feed them fast, all right? That's the whole story. Verse 36, now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house. Like a feast of a king, the Nabal heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing and little or much until morning light. So it was in the morning, the wine has gone out from him, and his wife had told him these things, and then his heart died within him. He became like a stone. The man who had a stone heart became like a stone. God take care of him. She risked her whole thing and put the burden on herself to take care of these things, and she came back home. What did she get? Drunken stupor. She was smart enough not to deal with him at the time and deal with him in the morning. And so we need to find the three qualities. Just listen carefully. Three qualities as a peacemaker. This is not just for the ladies, also men. Men and women alike. Three qualities of peacemaker. I find, number one, she was tactful. Yesterday when we were at the debate, I noticed that, to my surprise, evolution professor was extremely tactful. However, the guy from presenting creation side, he was not very tactful. He could win this guy very easily. Why? Because he had the truth. He didn't have to go after the jugular. But he was a little, I think in my opinion, he was a little too aggressive. We need to be aggressive, tactful. Turn your Bible with me to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Proverbs is right after Psalm, right before Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 15, 1. This in your heart, please. Soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh word stir up anger. Soft answer, turn away wrath, but harsh word stir up anger. So when we get upset, it's not the time to talk about it, especially the time. Second thing we find is loyalty. Abigail, as I said, there's a great time to get rid of this idiot guy, but she chooses to remain loyal to him. Especially nowadays when the half of marriage is going down the drain, she understood the meaning, I do. She was loyal to him. Third aspect, third qualification of the peacemaker is faithful. From the verse 26 to verse 31, we find Abigail knew God's plan. While David himself lost, he forgot about it. If we're faithful to God, God will guide us, and he will use us as a peacemaker. So number one qualification is we need to be tactful. Number two, we need to be loyal to the truth, not to any side, to the truth. Number three, we need to be faithful to God. Okay? All right, what happened there? What's the story? We find in verse 30. Then it came about, after about 10 days, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hands of Nabal, and kept his servant from the evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." David sent and proposed to Abigail, this guy is a lover boy, to take her as his wife. When the servant of David had came to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife." Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servant of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste and rode on the donkey, attended by the five of her maidens. And she followed the messenger of David and became his wife. David also took the Anoam, Jezreel, I guess. And so both of them were his wife, but Saul given his Michael, his daughter, David's wife, to the Pelti, the son of Elish, who was from the Galam. It sounds, ends like a fairy tale. Let's get a few applications. Number one, as I said before, yesterday's victory does not guarantee tomorrow's. Okay? Yesterday's victory does not guarantee tomorrow's. In other words, we have to deal each day differently, each day with a new patience and trust in God. Number two, if we handle conflict in a flesh manner, we will fall. If we handle conflict in a flesh manner, we will fall. We have to do it according to God's way. Let's pray that we get God's perspective for the situation. Let's look at the situation from the God's perspective, not from our perspective. If we look at it from our perspective, we'll go after that person right away. Third application. Let's restrain ourselves from anything hasty. This is my experience. If anything I do in hasty, I regret. You hear me? Anything I do in haste, I regret. There are a few words I'd rather get it back if I could, because I said way too fast. Do you ever feel that way too? You say something and you think, I shouldn't say that. And you do something and you realize, I shouldn't have done it. I don't even recommend you to slip over. Slip it over. No, I recommend, actually, I'd rather not you to do that. Why? Because while we're keeping in our heart, taking time, most of the time, the pressure cooker inside our heart become high pressure. The best way to handle this, give it to God. What about if it comes back? Give it to God. What about the thought comes back again? Give it to God. Again and again and again. Let Him handle it. If somebody is coming after you, if it is insult, turn the other cheek. I guarantee you this one. Since you learn, I learn this, guess what's going to happen? Insult will come along. God allows this kind to come along. That's false application. God allowed us to have this kind of insult to teach us, to train us. Let's be ready according to His way. All right, fifth application. When the conflict arises, let's be tactful, let's be wise, let's be loyal to the truth. I didn't say loyal to ourselves. We can be wrong. To your surprise, to my surprise, we can be wrong. Let's be loyal to the truth. If it's wrong, let's ask for forgiveness. And let's be faithful to God's word. All right? Let's stand up and pray. There's a verse that I'd like to just read for you in chapter 40 of Psalm, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of mire clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my step. He has put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, and put praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust God. If we wait upon the Lord, He shall renew the strength and mount up the wings like an eagle. We will walk and not be weary. We shall walk and run, not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Wait upon the Lord. Let's be tactful. Heavenly Father, we thank You.